Lovelies, thank you for joining us for the 51st episode of Final Girls Horrorcast, the show where we discuss some of the horror, thriller, and sci-fi movies currently available on your favorite streaming sites. I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
On this week's episode, we'll be discussing Liam Gavin's A Dark Song and Mike Flanagan's Absentia. Just a heads up for you new listeners, we are a spoiler-heavy podcast, so listen at your own risk. A Dark Song is available to stream on Netflix, and Absentia is currently streaming on Amazon Prime, so be sure to check those out before continuing if you are a spoiler-sensitive listener. But before we jump into those movies, let's get started with a segment that we like to call...
Trailer Trash Talk.
Today's trailer is... The Killing of a Sacred Deer, with an October 27th limited release date. And also, it's going to be premiering at Beyond Fest over by you, huh, Carly?
Yep. I was going to go see it, but it sold out.
Bummer.
Yeah, it happens.
It's directed by Yorgos Lanthimos, who is known for his work on The Lobster. And it's written by Yorgos and also, can you say that name, Carly?
No, good luck. Ephthemis Philippou?
I think you did better than I would. It's good. They're very Greek names. It's a little difficult for me. The IMDb summary is, Stephen, a charismatic surgeon, is forced to make an unthinkable sacrifice after his life starts to fall apart when the behavior of a teenage boy he has taken under his wing turns sinister. That is just like one run-on sentence, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
All right. I heard like people mentioning this movie previously, but I didn't see the trailer until just now.
I literally only saw the trailer because when we were buying our Beyond Fest tickets, we missed. There was like an Arnold Schwarzenegger one that sold out super fast. And so this one was going to be to replace that. And so I watched the trailer for it and I was like, okay, like I'll go see that. But before then, I hadn't heard of this movie.
Did you see The Lobster?
No, because of the dog murder.
Oh, yeah, there is a dog murder in that movie. I honestly was really interested in the movie, like, the first half, and then I fell asleep and didn't care to go back and watch the second half.
Yeah, I heard it was really good, but the dog murder, so...
I don't know that I would say it's really good. Like, it's good.
Okay. Well, then I'm not missing much.
I really love... like quirky indie movies. Like it's one of my favorite, like if I didn't have a horror podcast, I'd probably have a quirky indie movie podcast. That's my second go-to. I really like it when like some of my favorite actors, like smaller actors do like indie movies. Like Adam Scott did a lot of like cutesy indie movies and I love like all of them. I love them. The Lobster I kind of thought would be like that, and it definitely is quirky and it definitely is indie, but it's not, I don't know, I just didn't go the places I needed it to go. I'm in this trailer, I don't really get a feel for what this movie's about.
I didn't either. When you read the whatchamacallit for it
summary,
I was like, okay, great. I didn't get that from the trailer, but that's fine.
No, there's definitely like medical things happening and it's all well and good. But honestly, after A Cure for Wellness, like I just got a way too strong of A Cure for Wellness feel from this trailer.
Yeah, I can definitely see that.
I've been burned by you before.
I've been burned by you before.
It's because I just saw Beauty and the Beast.
So good. So good.
How many movies can I talk about instead of this movie is really what's happening right now.
Yeah, I'm interested to see it. I think I'd wait till it was streaming, though.
Yeah, I'm not excited about it. I don't really care. There's like a lot of actors in it, though. It seems like it has a pretty big cast,
yeah,
which is kind of surprising considering.
This director really likes Colin Farrell.
Loves Colin Farrell. But we got Nicole Kidman in here, too, right?
And Alicia Silverstone, who I didn't see in the trailer, but
yeah,
I may have missed her.
Yeah, where the hell has she been?
She's just been doing, spreading the kind life gospel.
Getting people to not vaccinate their children.
Getting people to eat vegan and not vaccinate their children, right?
Yep, that's basically all she does. So half good and half crazy. All right.
Fact.
I mean, I don't really know what to say. This trailer doesn't give me anything to really talk about.
It really doesn't. It's pretty looking, I guess. Lots of medical things. Don't know what it's about.
Exactly. Lots of medical things, and it's pretty.
We'll stream, probably.
Which is basically the same thing as A Cure for Wellness, so watch out.
Very beautiful.
But not as beautiful as A Cure for Wellness.
No.
Which...
A Cure for Wellness was like...
But that's all A Cure for Wellness had going for it, was how beautiful it was. So it better be damn beautiful, that's I guess.
And it was weird and rapey.
And then there was a weird Terminator part.
Yeah. So funny.
That movie was weird. Okay, well, let's move on then. Let's talk about some other movies we watched.
We're going to start with A Dark Song from 2016, written and directed by Liam Gavin, his first full-length feature. The IMDb summary is, a determined young woman and a damaged occultist risk their lives and souls to perform a dangerous ritual that will grant them what they want.
Did you like this movie, Carly?
I actually really liked this movie.
I actually really liked it, too.
Like, and a lot.
I was expecting to not like it at all.
I don't think I was expecting anything, but because I remember we did the trailer trash talk on it, and I wanted to see it.
Yeah.
It was apparently like super anticipated, but I haven't really heard anything about it after it was released. So I don't know. I was really excited. Well, I was kind of excited to watch the movie, but I really, really liked this. I would watch again.
I would watch it again too. I really liked it. I thought I knew what it was about, and I remember hearing Modern Horrors dudes talk about it on their podcast and thinking, I want to watch that. I think if I'm remembering correctly, Luke did not like it, and Jacob just didn't like the ending or something, which I can kind of understand. But I like was kind of skeptical. Like, I thought it looked really good. I thought that the plot was really interesting. Mm-hmm. And like halfway through, I'm like, okay, when is this going to turn, and when am I going to stop liking it? And it never actually happened. There was definitely a part where it fell off a little bit, but I think for the most part, I really liked it, and I would definitely watch it again.
I really liked it too. The special effects makeup artists did a damn good job on this movie.
I agree.
Holy shit.
That knife thing.
Oh my God, it was so good. I actually immediately, when that happened, because I think I had mentioned something about it before. I was like, oh, like the special effects on like makeup is actually like really good. And then when that part happened, I was like, okay, who did this? Because this is like, that knife scene.
It was good.
Was so good.
Yeah.
It looked really so good. Legit. Like, the blood didn't look weird and cheesy.
No, like, I definitely winced watching that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt it. I was like, whoa, that's intense for 7 o'clock in the morning, which is when I watched it.
Looked so good. So it's the same makeup artist that did Stitches and Let Us Pray.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. They did a bunch of other stuff, too, but we've talked about those movies before.
So this is I know this was filmed in Ireland. Do you know if this was an Irish film or not? I mean, Liam Gavin, that sounds like a very Irish name to me.
It does sound like an Irish name.
So I would kind of assume it was, but not to put you on the spot. If you don't know, it's cool.
I don't, but I can look and see if it was. This is an IFC Midnight film, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Country of origin, Ireland.
Ireland.
Filmed in Dublin.
Cool. I really liked, I thought the acting was really good.
Me too.
It just felt really real and honest, even though the stuff happening was kind of crazy. And I really liked how it kind of plays with your head a little bit, because you know she's a little nuts. So we have a woman, honestly, I don't even know the character names because they don't even say them. I think that if I'm to guess, her name is Sophie, I believe.
Yes.
Okay. So Sophie.
Sophia.
Sophia.
And
she
Neil.
Is dealing with the death of her child. Her mm-hmm. child died. And she's just trying to get vengeance on her child's killer. So she wants to do this occult ritual in which she will be able to ask her guardian angel for a favor. I mean, basically, that's the premise, right? And so you don't know if this guy is legit or not. This guy is, what is his name?
Joseph.
Joseph is... obviously miswired.
Yes, but at the same time, like, I never really doubted that he like believed in what he was doing because of how adamant he was about leaving the first time. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing with Joseph is he is very knowledgeable. So it's hard to believe it's bullshit.
Right.
Because he never seems like he's making up anything on the spot. If this was a trick, he was more prepared than anyone would ever be for this type of trick. But it also does kind of feel like gaslighting the movie, because the whole time he's just like telling her she's wrong and making her feel crazy and just like really making her feel bad. I don't know. It was really weird. I couldn't quite grasp if I liked him or not, because there were definitely parts in the movie where I was like, oh, I think I'm coming around on Joseph. And then other parts where I'm like, nope, no, Joseph is terrible.
I don't feel like he's bad.
Carly. Like
I get it. No, like I get his actions suck and they're like, he's a dick in the house. But like, he doesn't seem like that person before. So like, I just kind of assumed that it was like part of the ritual and part of where she maybe needed to be emotionally and mentally in order for the ritual to like...
But he also does things that don't have to do with the ritual that are
agreed.
Horrible.
Agreed. 100% agreed.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, there's definitely parts where I feel for him and I was surprised that I felt for him. But there's also scenes where he like makes her get naked and squat down so he can masturbate.
Yeah.
Like that's which is nothing to do with the ritual at all. And they're
right.
They're, we should mention, they're holed up in this house in the middle of nowhere for how many months?
For
6 months.
Yeah.
A very long time. Like, and they're not allowed to leave. They have all the food and everything that they need, and they just have to stay in this house. That's part of the ritual, is you cannot leave the salt circle around the house. But there's definitely, like, a cabin fever, like...
They're definitely locked in there, and
I
don't know, like, these... characters were great. They worked really well together. I was very entertained by them. I was like always like wondering what was going on. I don't know, like they did a great job.
They did do a great job. And like the thing you usually see in these movies where there's a cabin fever aspect is people start out really liking each other and then end up hating each other, like or murdering each other or whatever. I mean, in a cabin fever type movie, and I'm not talking about Cabin Fever, the actual movie. I'm talking about a movie where people are stuck together in a small space. In that type of movie, that's usually how it goes. And in this movie, it's like they never really like each other. They like... Our work, they're like co-workers almost.
They're there for business.
It's all business. And there is one scene that I thought that was very touching in which they really shared a heartfelt moment that felt really real. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of it, it just like melted away after that.
Yeah.
Because she is sharing... That you know which scene I'm talking about, where she's sharing about her dreams, and he's talking about, like, dreams are really, like, that's normal, like, it's how you're dealing with it. He's like, you know what I dream about? I dream about having a moped. And, like, they have this really genuine moment where it's like, he's like this occultist that knows all of these terrible things and have seen these terrible things, and all he can dream about is owning a moped.
And they just, like, their laughter is just so honest.
Yeah.
But that's, I liked that moment.
That's really the only, like, nice moment between them that exists. Like, it's just, I don't know. It's a really, I just think that alone makes this movie interesting, because it's such a different dynamic than we're used to seeing in movies like this.
Totally.
It's also a really creative story. Like, I can't think of anything that I've seen. I mean, we've certainly seen movies where people are dabbling with the occult. But 6 month rituals where you're like basically suffering for 6 months to be able to like do one thing that you must want it really badly, because she's going through torture for 6 months. She's torturing herself.
It was so funny when we Leif and I first started like watching this movie, like for the first like 20 minutes we couldn't get over how cheap it was to like rent that house for a year.
I know, right?
We're like, wait. How much?
800?
What? Like, are you kidding me? It's like a freaking castle.
I know.
There.
Beautiful house.
So beautiful.
Which they totally trashed, by the way.
Take my money. Yeah, they totally did.
Oh, my God. It was a good thing it was cheap because they totally trashed that shit.
Holy cow.
There was also, like, I don't know if you've ever seen this movie. Have you ever seen Don't Look Now?
Maybe. I can't think of what it is.
It's a movie from the 70s starring
Donald Sutherland.
Donald, I was going to say Kiefer Sutherland. I'm like, that's not the Sutherland
you're
I'm
like,
thinking
no,
of.
Donald not.
It's Donald Sutherland and
oh,
his
it's
wife.
A book.
And they're dealing with the death of their daughter and move into this area. And they're seeing their daughter running all over town. And then there's these killings happening. I personally don't like the movie, but it's a classic and a lot of people love it. I think that there's definitely like parallels with that movie that I see in this movie, namely like especially like when at the beginning when she's having all these images of her child and a woman in a red hoodie on top of her or like next to the on top of the child,
yeah,
and next to the child where like that's a kid in a red hoodie is a big part of Don't Look Now. If you saw it, you would know why. So like, you know, she's walking around with this hoodie halfway through the, like throughout half the movie, she's wearing this hoodie the whole time. And I'm like, oh, well, that kind of like, it just kept bringing me back. And that movie's about, you know, dealing with loss of your child. And so I definitely see a parallel with that also. I just thought that was interesting.
That is interesting.
I don't know if it was on purpose. I couldn't find anything about that.
Yeah.
But it's definitely something I found a parallel with. But yeah, this is just like, it's like, it's not like watching torture because she's doing it to herself, but there's definitely like their relationship is very like abusive relationship-y. Like, in terms of just looking at it from a purely symbolic standpoint, there's like, this is like super abusive. Why does she have to shave him? Like, that whole thing was really weird where she's like shaving his back and his arms for him. There's a lot of weird stuff where she's like serving him food and taking care of him, and he seems thankless about all of it. He's very pompous and full of himself. He yells at her all the time. When she tries to stand up for herself, like he basically beats her. Yeah. So it's like, it's really kind of not hard to watch, but you're just like that's it's just feels so abusive.
You definitely feel super uncomfortable, which is part,
yeah,
like I like this movie because of that like aspect of it. Like, it makes you feel something. It's not just like everybody's super nice to each other. It's like these characters are super super flawed, and obviously like they wouldn't be doing this crazy ritual unless they weren't super flawed, you know?
Yeah. It's just it's weird to see like an abusive relationship in this way, because it's not romantic at all. Like,
right,
there's nothing romantic happening. They
no,
they don't even really have feelings for each other, and even when it gets like weird and sexual, like it's not about sex,
right?
You know, it's not about love, it's not about even about sex really, it's
right,
not even like he doesn't even look like he's like happy about it. Like, he's
totally, yeah,
he's doing it because he wants to release,
exactly,
which is like, dude, just masturbate. Can you just use your brain?
Yeah.
Like, why do you need to be looking at something? Bring a fucking magazine. She doesn't need to know about it. Like, I
bring
don't
a magazine.
What, you can't bring a porno magazine to the occult house? It's not allowed.
It's not holy. You can't do it.
I don't think making her bend over and masturbating is very holy either.
I
mean, other than
so
the
either
actual holes involved. Not like that was a bad joke. I apologize. It's bad taste. It's bad taste. But yeah, there was, at least there was a, like, I was waiting for more sex stuff, but she really got pissed at that, and that did not happen again. So I feel like he was like, okay, that was too far.
Yeah, I've done
like,
too
I'm
much
in control, and I,
and then she peed in his soup. So
yeah.
Ooh.
He deserved it.
Agreed.
He deserved that. She 100% should have done worse, but whatever. So, but I think let's just jump to the end. And if you haven't seen this, like, this is really the only part that's really spoilery. So maybe just skip ahead 5 minutes if you don't want to hear it. But for some reason, this movie turns into Baskin for approximately 5 minutes.
Super weird, right? And it was the only part that, like,
it felt so out of place.
It felt so out of place. And I wish that it was, I wish that it would have just been, like, emptiness. That, like, she looked like she saw it, but you didn't see it.
It's just, okay, so she's waiting for her guardian angel to appear and to help her. She's been doing all of this to get her guardian angel. And basically, she's fighting with herself because she wants vengeance against her kid's killer, but she also, like, can't find it in herself to forgive anybody. The whole movie, she's talking about how she can't forgive people. Like, she doesn't have that capability. It's not that she drinks blood so that she doesn't have to forgive anybody.
Right.
And then it comes down to it. I'm assuming, because this is a Catholic ritual and there's hate in her heart, she doesn't get what she wants. She ends up getting dragged into the cellar by these demons. I don't know. Yeah. People in rags. It literally looks like the people from Baskin. Like,
I thought it was like a hell demon situation. Yeah.
They look like people, but they're hellish people, I guess.
They're definitely from hell.
Yeah.
And they definitely, like, chop off her finger and she gets away.
They hold her down in a chair and chop off her finger, and then she runs away and apologizes, and then she's able to see her guardian angel. Now, that's the one. Now, this is the part I'm assuming that Modern Horrors was talking about when they're talking about
this. This is the one part. I didn't have a problem with the demons. This is, like, the weird angel thing was.
It just looked so weird.
It looked so weird.
If it was just a light.
That's what I'm saying.
It probably would have been fine.
It would have been more effective because we have this, like, supernatural thing going on with this movie earlier with, like, the gold flecks. Like, there's a lot of really pretty things happening here, but this weird, like,
CGI giant?
CGI Thor looking, I don't know, like,
giant knight.
Like, old, it was like a Roman knight, it looked like.
Yeah.
He was a
golden Roman knight.
Knight. And it was so out of place. It was really so out of place. This movie's so solid. And then I was like, ooh, did that need to be there?
And I, like, honestly, beyond the imagery, I loved this part.
Agreed. 100%.
I loved that she came to terms with the fact that she didn't really want vengeance. She just wanted to be able to, like, accept, forgive, and move on with her life, which she was just unable to do. And which is smart because, you know, you get vengeance and you can't usually, I mean, at least in movies, you get your vengeance, but then you still need more. Like, you're not satisfied by it.
Right.
Really, like, she's coming to the conclusion that really she needs help with her.
She needs to forgive. She needs to let go. She needs to move forward.
Right. So that's ultimately what she asks the guardian angel for, and she drives away, and she seems like she's at peace, finally.
Yes.
Which is a lovely ending to the story that's pretty sad to watch the whole time, but the imagery of this guardian angel is so insanely ridiculous
that it takes
you out of it.
Yeah.
But I like the ending. I just wish that it looked different.
Same. And I kind of let it go because of that fact. I was like, I really like where this story went, but that's just, like, the one factor that I really, like, just want them to just delete from this movie.
Yeah, you know what? They could have even done, like, a Pulp Fiction Marcellus Wallace kind of, like,
yeah, like, you open the
briefcase thing, like, where it's just a shining light and the person's just like, oh my god. Her acting was right on.
It was so good. I didn't even need to see weird cheesy Roman man.
He was huge.
He was so big.
He was the biggest, and his skin was so, like perfectly smooth, and it was insanely ridiculous looking. I don't know how they did that part and thought, that's good, let's leave that,
let's keep it in post, wrap it up, we're done here.
Added that in post, they had to. It was all CGI.
yes.
It's just a weird choice. I didn't maybe it's like we need to feel like her guardian angel was a warrior for her, or I mean, I don't know what I'm supposed to be getting out of him being a Roman warrior.
I got nothing. No.
No. Okay. I'm glad that that part was weird for you too. So yeah, we go from like solid, solid movie, solid, solid movie, solid, solid movie, Baskin, giant Greek god, end of movie.
We're on a roller coaster.
No. Yeah, it's the Baskin part isn't even that bad, but it is very Baskin. I can't describe it as anything other than Baskin.
I didn't mind it. I really didn't.
I didn't either. It's just it does start to move in a completely different direction all of a sudden.
Agreed. That scene. Yeah. I do agree.
Okay. Well, all in all, I liked it. Carly liked it. If you haven't checked it out, check it out. It's a good one. I appreciated the effort, and I'd like to see more from this director.
I'm down. Definitely underrated. Like, I wish more people saw this movie.
I hope that you guys do watch it if you haven't already. I think it's totally worth checking out. Okay, well, let's move on then. Are you ready?
So ready. Let's do this.
Alrighty, then let's talk about Absentia from 2011, written and directed by Mike Flanagan. If you guys don't know Mike Flanagan, you should. He's our homie from Oculus.
Yep.
Hush.
Yep.
He's doing the new Gerald's Game, which comes out next week, and I'm so excited about it.
I'm really excited, too.
I can't wait. The IMDb summary for this movie is: a woman and her sister begin to link a mysterious tunnel to a series of disappearances, including that of her own husband. Oh! This was the first time you saw this movie, right, Carly?
Yes.
I'm really excited to hear what your thoughts on it are.
Is that what it's about? Because they don't find that out. They don't make that kind link of. Until like three quarters through the movie.
True. It's kind of spoilery.
Yes.
But did you like it?
I liked this movie. It was so first movie.
It is very though. First movie.
And it kind of took me out of it sometimes because like, while I really liked the two main female actors, I wasn't on board with everybody else, I guess. Yeah. So I really like the idea of this movie. I really like the script of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Watching the movie was a fun experience.
Well, since I'm a Mike Flanagan nerd, I'll tell you a little bit about it.
Please.
So I believe that this was a Kickstarter film, so not a huge budget here. The woman who played Trisha, the pregnant woman, it was his wife at the time. It's his ex-wife. And she was 7 months pregnant when they filmed this.
I was going to say, she looked legit pregnant.
Yeah, she was legit pregnant. So you got to, yeah, that a preface for this film is you have to give it a little bit of a slide in terms of budgetary restrictions and the fact that Mike Flanagan was pretty young and pretty green when he made this still. This isn't his first feature-length film, but I think it's his first non-student feature-length film. I'm not 100% on that. There's not a ton of information regarding that. But he's done a couple full-length movies before this, but this was like his big break. And again, this was funded through Kickstarter, so not a ton of money coming in for this film.
$70,000 is still a good amount of money.
Is it? For how many actors there are.
That's true. There are a ton of actors. That's
fair. Film equipment. Like, I mean, the house in this film, like, I'm just getting all the bad stuff out of the way before I start gushing over it because I really do love this movie. The acting isn't 100% awesome. The music bothers me, like, a lot. Like, the score is terrible. I'm sorry. It just really is. It's the house, the decor of the house is really outdated and, like, really, like, not just IKEA, but, like, the cheapest of IKEA. Like, IKEA dorm room edition.
Totally. Like, so bad.
Really, really, really cheese. And, like, the props are, like, you know, obviously homemade. And, like, there's definitely, like, the CGI, there's none. It doesn't exist. So, like, it's a lot of makeup that's not awesome. Like, you got, like, a middle ground to low ground, like, makeup artist involved. Like, it's not super impressive in terms of production. But the story is fantastic and interesting. And I think like the actual directing of this film is really good. And so props to Mike Flanagan for writing another awesome movie.
The script is great.
Yeah. He knows like, how to write a script, man. And he's original. I you know, say what you want about Oculus. I know that the Modern Horrors guys like joke that it's like totally predictable and who couldn't see that ending coming. It's like, okay, fine, but like it's a different spin. Like when I finally watched Oculus, it was not at all what I thought it was going to be about.
Totally. Same.
So, and the same with this movie. Like, he can write a story that's like, it seems on the surface like it's going to be really, like, I've seen this a million times, but like, it always ends up tripping me up somehow. Like, there's always something really interesting happening that I wasn't expecting. He's super good at that. He writes really great scripts. So, if you can get over, like, the weird production-y stuff, that's obviously he's a newbie and he doesn't have a lot of money and he's, like, doing what he can. If you can get over that, then you're going to love this movie, I think. Especially if you're a Flanagan fan.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that.
So, basically, we have a woman. She's very pregnant. And her sister, she's, at the beginning, she's tearing down old missing posters and putting up new missing posters on all of the poles outside of her house. And they're of her husband, who has been missing for 7 years. It's a long time.
It's a lot of years.
It's a lot of fucking years.
To be still putting up missing posters.
Yeah.
Which she explains. They're the last ones.
They're the last of the posters. After 7 years of someone missing and never hearing from them, you can get paperwork filed to have them be considered deceased in absentia, meaning that they've been gone for 7 years, no one knows where they are, so let's just pretend they're dead, basically. So that's what she's doing. She's finally going through this period where she's able to have some sort of closure with her husband in which she can move on with her life. She's pregnant. She's starting a new life. You definitely get like a feeling of optimism from her at the beginning of this film. She's sad and certainly dealing with some shit, but she does seem like she's starting to get over something and she's starting to move on.
Right. She's got a date with the detective and who we later find out is the father of her baby.
Yes.
Her
sister comes to visit her, mm-hmm. who is a recovering addict.
Yeah.
Or just an addict in general. I thought it was really interesting that the sister, her name is Callie in the film. She looks kind of a lot like Mike Flanagan's wife now, don't you think? Doesn't she look like Kate a
she
little
does.
Bit?
She does. She definitely, yeah, she yeah, totally does.
She does. I was like, And at first I thought she was his wife, but she was not his wife. The other woman was his wife. And I was going to say, oh, he totally has a type because they look the same. Anyway, not his wife, just another actress. So as her sister comes to visit her, they start to notice this tunnel by their house is a little creepy. The sister notices it first, where she starts to figure out, like, oh, there's a creepy guy in the tunnel saying that he's been underneath the tunnel and to tell his son and to help him get out and all this stuff.
When she saw it, because she was like, she goes on a jog and then she's coming back through the tunnel again. And that's when she sees him. I was like, nope, like, no way would I run past a random dude laying in the middle of a weird tunnel like that. Like, there's just no way.
Right. And her reaction is a good one in that I think it's honest. You know, like, a lot of women in that situation are going to have a fuck no moment, you know, where she kind of jogs up and then she's like, I don't know if I'm going to do this. He looks passed out. Maybe I can just run by. Like, that's probably what I would do, too. And, like, I don't know where I am. I don't know this area. So, like, I don't know how to get to where I'm going without going through this tunnel. And this guy looks passed out. So I'm just going to run real quick.
I would not. I would
no.
go get a police officer or something.
At the
or
park?
Even just another human. Like, yeah. No way.
Yeah. So she
that
decides,
guy was scary as fuck.
But she's also a recovering addict. She's seen some shit.
Probably true. Probably true.
She's probably been that guy before. So maybe she has a little more sympathy. She's also brought herself back to Jesus. As you can see, she hangs her cross up in the room and she's trying to do the Christian thing. She brings him back some food. She's like, I'm so sorry, dude. Like, when he wakes up, she's like, fuck. She's like, I'll bring you food. Bye. So she starts to realize sooner than Trisha does that there's something weird going on with this tunnel.
Yeah.
So just kind of moving forward and just kind of fast forward a little bit, because there's a lot of like weird tunnel stuff. Basically what happens is Daniel reappears. The husband, who has been missing for 7 years, reappears the same time that Trisha decides she's going to go finally go on a date with her baby daddy.
So sad. I felt so bad for the guy.
I did too at first, and then he ended up being a dick, so I didn't feel bad for him anymore. But so Daniel just appears, and he is a mess. I mean, he kind of looks like he's probably always been a mess, but he looks especially like a mess.
He looked terrifying.
He did. He looked terrifying. And Trisha's been seeing visions of him throughout the whole movie, because she's dealing with processing the fact that he's now considered deceased. She's processing all of this. So she keeps seeing him behind the door and whatever. She sees him when she's dreaming and whatever. She feels like he's not forgiving her for doing this to him.
Is that him, though, for like in the house? Because like the first thing that he says to the doctor is like, you can see me. Like,
yeah.
So I kind of thought that like he was actually there and like trying to get in touch with her. But like,
it's possible. It's possible that that's true. We don't really know
if
he's really in the house prior to this moment.
Because, I mean, he knows where she is. So it seems like he's like following her around.
It's true. And maybe that is the case. But I don't feel like Daniel's malicious.
No, so I don't think it's like a mean thing. I think it's like help. Get me out of here.
But he's not saying help. He's saying, like, how could you do this to me? And he's saying, like, angry things to make her feel guilty.
True.
Which makes me think that it's not him. If he was like, help me, or I'm still here, or, you know, something like that to make her feel bad, that would make me think it might be real. But because of the things he's saying, it's very dark and ominous and scary. I don't think that that's actually him.
That makes sense. It was really just the, like, you can see me thing.
Yeah. So I think that, and the guy in the tunnel had the same thing, right? Where he was like, you can see me. I don't think this is, okay. So this is like a very interesting parallel with Stranger Things, although Stranger Things doesn't come till many years later. But there's an upside down in this movie. We don't see the upside down, but there's a monster and he guards the upside down and he drags people to the upside down to eat them. Yes. I mean, it's kind of similar.
It is.
Yeah. So, you know, minus the children and all the other fun stuff. There's definitely an upside down type thing happening where it's like you're living in the same space, but you can't see each other. It's parallel universe, if you will. So anyway, I forgot what I was saying. But yeah, when Daniel appears, she thinks that it's just a figment of her imagination again because she's on a date with the cop and they just start walking. But then she notices that the detective is seeing him too. And the detective definitely knows what he looks like because he's been looking for him for 7 years.
Right.
So there's definitely like he has an oh shit moment and then she goes into shock because just holy shit.
What the hell? This is like the worst time.
Yeah, how are you here and how are you here right now?
Yeah, it's like so insane and unfortunate for everyone.
It really is. It's kind of heart-wrenching and there's definitely mixed emotions happening. And I mean, Daniel doesn't stick around for too much longer, but we do get to know him a little bit and what he's been dealing with. Apparently there's a giant bug monster.
A giant spider monster.
With skin like silverfish that will drag you to the other side.
Yep.
And he had trauma, so he's been, like, abused for 7 years. Poor Daniel. He had animal bones in his stomach.
Yeah.
How did those get there?
I don't even... It's crazy.
It's really, like, it's good. He does a good... Mike Flanagan does a good job of making this super creepy with, like, absolutely nothing.
Yeah, no, it's wonderful. And he looks terrifying.
Yeah, you see shadows.
Mm-hmm.
and you see people getting dragged around. That's really it. Like, you don't really see anything scary.
That's true.
But I just thought that was
those that was close really up spider shots.
A little bit of close up spider faces. Whoa. A little bit of that, but it's not. Meh. It's not much. Okay. So then this, once Daniel gets back, the detective is kind of terrible to him. He starts blaming him for stuff and thinking he's a drug addict. And I don't know why he's being so mean to him. Like, you had your wallet on you this whole time. Like, I don't know, very accusatory, but I'm not even really sure what he's accusing him of. He's very aggressive.
I think he just wants to kind of assume that maybe he just left.
Maybe.
Like, he has.
He looks a fucking mess, though.
He does.
Like, this guy has been through shit. The doctors told him he went through trauma, like severe trauma. Like, why would you start yelling at someone who's been missing for 7 years and has been through severe trauma?
It's a personal thing.
Like, put your personal shit aside, yeah, dude. Agreed. And it's not just him. It's his partner, too. His partner's a piece of shit, too.
Yeah.
So it's like, it was like a lot all at once. That was one thing in the script that, like, I was like, I don't think so.
I thought that, too. I was like, why are they being so mean?
Like, it just didn't seem realistic that they would be that mean, yeah, or that the detective would even still be on the case at this point, because he obviously has a personal relationship with her. And once that dude comes back, you would think you'd put someone else on it.
Yeah, for yeah, sure.
At least to talk to them, because that's a conflict of interest.
Agreed.
For sure.
100%.
Yeah. So anyway, it's just like, I felt really bad for Daniel in that point. It's like, the dude has been through hell. Like, give him a fucking minute.
Yeah. I mean, they would never.
They were like attacking him.
Yeah.
It was just weird. It was a weird choice. And then no one has it worse in this movie than Daniel's parents. It's like the worst thing ever.
Like, holy cow.
Daniel's parents, poor Daniel's parents, get a phone call. Your son is alive. He's here. It's amazing. You have to come here to see him. And they get on a plane, and guess where Daniel is? Not there anymore. He got dragged back.
Back so in the underneath.
They get there and they're upside so down. Excited to see him, and it's the fucking worst. That's the hardest part to watch in this whole movie.
And especially watching Trisha's so face. Bad. Like,
oh my god.
Great.
Yeah.
Now I have to tell you this.
Oh my god. Yeah, the bug comes back and drags him back. But this time the sister was there to see it, so she knows what's up.
And she goes and chases after him.
Yeah.
She's brave.
She is brave. She is. She's fearless, man. She's
tough. Really is.
I like her. But she's still on drugs, so no one trusts her. No one believes anything
she
says.
Flying high, as they said.
Yeah. The weird thing is we don't even really know what kind of drugs she's on.
No, she's just got the box of drugs.
They mentioned, like, three different kinds of drugs. Like, I can tell you're on acid right now. I can tell you're stuck a needle in your arm. Like, that's not how acid works.
Yeah. Maybe so, Mike's just showing his, I'm not really sure how drugs work.
I think that's what it was. There's some other, like, really random, like, I don't really know if I know how this works type moments. When she's meditating and doing her Buddhist thing, she has, like, the meditation bowls. You definitely don't just hit that with with the stick. It's not a gong.
Yeah, totally.
You're supposed to, like, put the stick in it and, like, rub it around?
Yeah, you, like, do the outside, I think. You, like, roll the thing on the thing.
So either Trisha's really doesn't know what she's doing in terms of Buddhism. I don't know. There's like a lot of weird stuff going on where it doesn't really go together. Anyway, she has this meditation bowl. She's just hitting it like it's a gong every time she goes to meditate. I'm like, I don't think that's what you do.
It's not right. No, wait a minute.
I don't think that's how that works. Again, gotta just let it go, guys. But yeah, that was kind of funny. Anyway, long story short, Trisha ends up also getting dragged back into the tunnel, or getting dragged into the tunnel.
Yes.
Callie also can't save her, although she tried.
Correct.
Callie goes to the cops. Cops don't believe her. Again, she's a drug addict. They don't trust anything she says. And they think she's involved in it, too. She's like a person of interest now.
Yeah.
So she's like, fuck this.
Don't leave.
I have to go back and get my sister. She goes in the tunnel and says, I want to make a trade with you. She starts yelling, trade, trade.
She should have been more specific.
Yeah, because she gets the unborn fetus instead of her sister. And then she gets dragged in. Man, what an ominous ending. Very sad.
It's so sad and weird. And you see the fetus like flop out of the wall and it's so bizarre.
But they don't show it like close up, which is good because A, they're not going to be able to afford anything that looks accurate. And B, that's horrific. Nobody wants to see that.
It was seriously like, wait, what? Like it makes you do like a double take, like 90% sure that that was just a fetus.
Yeah. You just kind of see it out of the corner of your eye, you know, and you're like, ooh, that's horrifying. But all in all, the detective, okay, so then the detective finds all the old stuff that Callie was researching and hopefully moves on to try and find Trish, who is the love of his life and had his baby that, I wonder if he found the baby in the tunnel.
I was waiting to hear something about it and there was nothing.
There was nothing. You just see him putting up missing posters at the end looking for Trish and scene. A very good story. A very interesting story and one that we have not seen
great
before.
Great story.
Yeah, really well done. And again, this was before Stranger Things, so it's original for its time.
Super original. I really like the premise of this movie a lot.
Yeah. And it's nice to know, like, I don't know. I think that it would be a good candidate for a remake, like a big budget remake. I think it could be really fun, really interesting.
I wish that he would remake this.
Yeah.
I really do.
It'd be rad if he did.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he's moved on to bigger and better things.
It's true.
So
he's
probably not.
He's
but even just another
stories.
Director with like a bigger budget, I think could do a lot with this story. It's
agreed.
A really interesting story. All right. Oh, dog, stop barking.
I totally remembered one thing that bothered me about A Dark Song that wasn't the...
Oh, go ahead.
The CPR was so inaccurate.
Oh.
And it drove me crazy.
How he's breathing and then she coughs it up, that's not how it works.
But, like, he doesn't plug her nose. He doesn't, like, tilt her head back to the proper angle. He just, like,
puts
his face on her mouth and just starts, like, blowing.
That's true.
I was like, ugh. Anyway, that's it.
All right. Well, that's enough for those movies. Let's move on. Do you want to talk about our newest segment, Carly?
Yes, which we like to call Social Media Question of the Week.
So we just announced it really quickly.
Yeah.
So we don't have a ton.
Cool. So our question.
Oh, our question. Sorry.
You're good.
Our question this week was, you perform a dark magic ritual in which you can ask your guardian angel for anything. What do you ask for?
On Twitter, we have at Black Cat Memes saying lots of cash or a do-over in general.
It's a good one. Also on Twitter, we have at Finn Horror says, for everyone who acts like a dick, to become suddenly and painfully aware of their dickishness.
I like that one.
That's a good one.
A lot. Yeah. At Eddie Foot says, go back in time to age like 5, but remember everything that I know now as an adult.
Oh.
That's a good one.
It is a good one. At the Giant Bee With You says, definitely that sweet cash. It would be tax-free, yo.
On Facebook, we have Don A. saying, no strings attached, wealth and health for me and my family.
Oh, very nice.
That's very kind. Dave Z's follows it with what he said. So he agrees with Don A.
Oh, yes. John M. on Facebook says, 3 more wishes.
I like it.
And then we have a couple more. I'll just shout them out real quick
since they're not
up, Carly. Tommy B. says, the powers of one of my RP characters.
Cool.
Role-playing game characters.
Like
nice.
It.
And then Joe D. says, the powers of Dr. Manhattan without having to be a naked blue guy. Do you know what Dr. Manhattan is?
Yes.
What is Dr. Manhattan?
From Watchmen.
Oh, okay.
The naked man.
Okay, I never saw it.
Ah.
But I'm aware that it exists. Okay, we didn't really have that many responses because we posted right before we started.
Yeah,
recording.
Sorry. It was so last minute. We were like, oh, shit. We forgot to do this.
It's that new schedule,
it
guys.
It is. It's
just
throwing
like,
us right off.
You know what else is throwing us off? Not doing the It reaction video we promised everyone.
Oh, my God. We're the worst. Guys, we recorded. And then the recorder was like, just kidding. We are only going to record you for 5 minutes.
I thought I bought the full version of this video recorder. That's because we have to have a specific Skype recording software that records us side by side and not like I'm small and Carly's big or vice versa. So we found the right software, but then it stopped recording us after 5 minutes, and I think we did like 8 minutes. So like we're just like in the middle of thoughts and it just cut out. So I don't know. I'm thinking almost that we skip it and we just do a live stream where we talk about it with you guys. So we'll try to get something scheduled up on Patreon soon. If you aren't on Patreon, you can become a Patreon subscriber should you choose to. And we will be doing live streams once a month. So we have one coming up soon. Just go on patreon.com and search for Final Girls Horrorcast and you'll find our page. We're up there doing stuffs, posting things. Depending on what level you get, you'll get to know some things about our advanced episode plans. You get to find out what else do we give them? I don't even know.
All the things. We make up things daily. For to give.
Just kidding. No, we'll give you shout outs on the episode. Well, every once in a while we'll ask you if you want to help us plan an episode, depending on what level you're at. And like I said, bonus material and also live streams with us about certain topics. So like I said, I will plan something so we can talk about it together. And I will post a link and we will plan something ahead of time. I think quite a few people already posted letting me know what their availability is like, so we can try and plan something that works for most of our listeners. Also, in terms of news, we are having t-shirt designs made as we speak. We have seen first drafts of our design.
Guys, I'm so excited.
And we're really excited about it. So we're going to have like a special 80s... looking kind of logo that we're going to have on shirts, and then we're also going to have like our standard Final Girls logo just to start, and hopefully throw up some more designs eventually. So we'll be opening up our t-shirt shop, I'm hoping, sometime in October, mid to late October, so keep your eyes peeled for that, and I'll make another announcement as that becomes a closer reality. In terms of what's going on with us, is there anything you wanted to talk about, Carly? I know you're going to Beyond Fest.
I am going to Beyond Fest. I'm so excited. I'll probably talk more about it, lots more about it, in what, next
week? As it happens.
Two weeks. The first week of October, I think. I'm going to see Mother tomorrow.
Fun.
Excited about it. Other than that, I haven't really done much this week. I feel like I've just been, like, watching movies and, like, in my bed.
Have you been watching anything else, like, interesting?
No.
No?
TV's, like, you know.
It's like the quiet before the storm. Yeah. Like, it's about to get crazy, but we don't have much right now.
Exactly. So, it's about, I think I'm just, like, mentally preparing for October.
Yeah.
So there's I'm just a lot. Being chill right now.
Yeah. And just a heads up, be sure to stay tuned to the very end of this episode. We'll be announcing our October schedule. So if you are doing a 31 horror movies and 31 days for October, you can try and throw some of our films that we're covering in there if you so choose to do that. Just a heads up, I'm going to be doing that at the very end of this episode. I just watched the live action Beauty and the Beast with Dan Stevens.
Yay! I was so last excited. Night.
And I was expecting to be indifferent about it or like maybe like it, but I loved
it. It's so good.
I can't believe how great it was. It was so reminiscent of the cartoon that it just made me so happy. It was very Disney. I wasn't expecting it to be Disney at all. Like, it just, like,
it's
had
so
all
good.
The Disney songs. It had a little bit of extra songs that weren't Disney.
But that were still super strong.
They were really great. Emma Watson was fantastic. Dan Stevens was amazing. Like, we had so many good other actors in there that, like, I can't even go into it, but I don't remember who, like, Sir Ian McKellen was fucking in it. Like, everyone was fucking in it. It was awesome. just a really good time. I had a lot of fun with it. I cried maybe like 3 times.
Dude, me too.
I couldn't help it. I don't even know why I was crying. I was just so happy about it.
Now I want to watch it again. Tears. I might watch it tonight.
It's on Netflix. I want to watch it all the time. I just liked it so much. And I'm not like a huge Disney person, but I really loved Beauty and the Beast growing up. That was like, I wanted to be Belle. Like, I felt like I was a Belle. So I really...
They really did a great job.
They did a really good job with it. And they made Emma Watson way more of a badass than Belle even was. So it was even better. I just, like, if I had a little kid, I would be, like, making them watch this all the time. It's just really good. And Dan Stevens is fantastic. I wish I got to see him a little more.
His face.
Like his face. His
cute face.
And even when I did get to see his face, it was like lots of makeup.
It was under powder.
And that costume at the end is so insanely ridiculous with like, it's like powder blue and like powder blue heels.
Yes.
With bows. Oh, Victorian era clothes for men were.
So amazing.
Woo! They were fantastic.
Get those heels in.
Yeah. It was just really fun. I was expecting to be weirded out or think like that was a strange choice, but I really didn't have any of that. I was surprised. I really, really liked it. So that was a lot of fun for me. But I also like I've been going movie shopping like crazy. I know a lot of our listeners have been talking about all the Walmart movies that have come out.
Yeah.
Like all the special Halloween edition covers that have appeared. I ended up buying three movies. I got the special edition Fly.
That's awesome.
I don't remember what the other ones were that I got. Jennifer's Body. Just because I like Karen Kusama, but I really like her and I hadn't seen that one, but the cover looked really cool, so I was like, I'll get it. It's only $5. Why not?
Yeah, when I see those $5 movies, I'm like, just take it. Just take my money.
I got a bunch of like movies I haven't watched yet. Also just like found them at the record store in the used section. I got like Hatchet and I don't even remember. I just started like buying lots of movies. So I have like all these movies I have to watch that I've never seen in my DVD collection now. So I'm like, I'm stoked.
That's awesome.
Yeah. All right.
Let's wrap
it. Can we close out? Yeah. Should we close out? Okay, let's close out. Thanks to Troy from Cave Bastard for a song sequencing the drone and Jason Link for our amazing logo. Visit finalgirlshorrorcast.com for more information on them. We also have stickers to give away. I just sent out stickers last week to like 7 people. And if you're interested in getting some, just hit me up. I will send them to you. Send me your address, finalgirlshorrorcast@gmail.com, and we'll get them out there for you.
Final Girls Horrorcast is part of the Modern Horrors Podcast Network. Clink. I don't have any drinks today.
Cheers.
This week's episode is sponsored by Elizabeth, Mikey H., Nick B., Jonathan W., Black Cat, Miss Tab, and the OT Gourmet Geek. Final Girls Horrorcast is available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TunedIn, and pretty much anywhere else that you can stream a podcast. We are also very active on social media, so please interact with us. You can find us on Twitter at FinalGirlsHC and Instagram and Facebook, just search for Final Girls Horrorcast. We also invite you to join our Final Girls discussion group on Facebook. You can find the link on our Facebook homepage.
Yeah, and if you're having trouble finding it, you guys, just like send me an email or something. I'll send you the link. I did pin it to our Twitter page for a little while. I'm having a hard time pinning it to our Facebook page. I don't understand Facebook well enough to get it to work. So if for some reason you can't find us on the discussion group, just find another way to hit me up and I'll send you a link. It's really fun and you really want to be on there.
It is super fun.
We're having a good time. Okay. So next month is October, as we all know. So we have our October schedule planned. Now, when I planned our October schedule, I was having a hard time because I didn't know what theme to go with. So why not just go with Halloween as a theme? And not the movie, just the holiday. We covered some of our favorite Halloween movies last year. So I thought it would be fun to cover a bunch of just random Halloween movies this year that are just happen to be streaming. So we're doing streaming only movies with a Halloween theme. Some of them are good. Some of them are bad. Some of them we just really don't know what to expect.
We're going to get through this together.
We're gonna go through it together. So in case you are planning your 31 and 31 movies to do for the month of October, here they are for you. Get your pens and paper ready, folks. I'll also be posting this on social media in case you need it and don't have a pen and paper handy at the moment. Or pencil. Or crayon. Or red crayon. Like, maybe it's like Annabelle.
Yeah, you're like Annabelle and you just have a red crayon always.
You only have a red crayon and a white wall to write on. That's also acceptable. Just don't use blood because that's messy. And disease. You could get diseases that way. It's just really not good. Don't do that. So the movies we're doing first week. Week one, Carly, what movies are we doing next week?
On October 2nd, we are doing Hellions and Satan's Little Helper.
All right. I've seen Satan's Little Helper, have not seen Hellions. Hellions is on Netflix and Satan's Little Helper is on Amazon.
Yes.
And then what are we doing the next month, Carly?
On the 9th, we are doing Honey Spider, which is on Amazon, and Murder Party, which is on Shudder.
Ooh.
It's a weird name.
Now, Murder Party is Jeremy Saulnier's first full-length feature, I believe.
We love him, so we're stoked.
I'm really excited to see that one. Haven't seen it yet.
On the 16th, we are doing Scare Zone, which is on Vudu, and Hayride, which is on Amazon.
Ooh. And those are like haunted house, Halloween haunted house movies.
On the 23rd, we are doing Boo, which is on Yahoo, and Ghostwatch, which is on Shudder. And I believe the Modern Horrors guys are going to be joining us for that one.
You know, we're working on it. We're going to get them on one of these episodes, and that's the one we're trying for.
They'll pop up at some point in October.
They will. Maybe not that one, but we're trying for it. And then that last week of Halloween, we have Tales of Halloween and Hell House LLC. Do you know where those are streaming? I think Tales of Halloween's on Netflix and Hell House
is on Amazon.
Yeah. So there you go, folks. That's our schedule for October. If you want a schedule of that into yours, go for it. Again, I'll post this on social media soon, so you should have it available to you. Hopefully, they're not all horrible. I know for a fact at least two of these are good.
And I'm expecting decent things from Murder Party, so.
I am also, yeah. So until then, until next week, I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
Bye! Bye.